Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, it is Sunday night, and that's the main slap of the bass. This is time for the weekend wrap. Well, hey, a lot of upsets this weekend, and we might as well get right off into it. The first one that we're going to talk to, of course, is Scully, and Scully is going to give us a little background into exactly what happened yesterday, and some of the other things the big upset. We now have our first Mexican American heavyweight champion. Devin Alexander got upset. William Monroe got back on the winning side again, and we have a lot of things to talk about. So let's see if we can grab up this address from Scully here. Hold on one second. We have a little freaking Scully here. Let's try it one more time. Everybody's on the radio, on the cell phone, so let's see what we can do. Alright, we'll do that. All the skeletons on this one. Fox Sports. A lot of good fights last week. As I said, we saw.
Hello.
Can you hear me, Scully?
Yes, I hear.
How you doing, man?
I'm doing all right. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good today, man. We wake up this morning with the first Mexican-American heavyweight champion, man. Who'd have thought?
Yes, sir. We most people didn't see that coming, that's for sure.
I admit I didn't. Did you?
You know what? I... I can't say. I wish I could say I picked them to win. I didn't. The only thing I said yesterday, online before the fight, I said that, don't take this guy for a joke, because I've seen him fight before. I mean, forget about his physique. I mean, this guy is good. He can fight. You know, I just thought Joshua would come through. I didn't think it would end like that. But, it wasn't a – like some people were comparing it to Tyson Douglas. And I'm saying, listen, it's not even remotely close. I mean, when Tyson lost to Douglas, I was in disbelief. I was not surprised. I didn't pick him to win. I didn't pick Andy to win. But I was not shocked, at the result. So it was on a different level as far as that goes.
When you look at all the build up to the fight and the circumstances around it, how do you feel this morning if your name is Big Baby Miller?
Yeah, that's I saw quite a few. I saw the meme. I'm sure you saw the meme of the baby crying. They showed the baby before the fight, and then they showed the baby after the fight, and the baby's crying. And they're like, this is him this morning. And, but the thing is, I mean, Big Baby's a different kind of guy. You know, we don't like a lot of people are thinking, they're implying like, oh, Big Baby would have done the same thing. And I wouldn't say that by any stretch of the imagination. I mean, this kid, like you say, this kid proved something last night. He got dropped. He got up. He overcame that. Just because Joshua got beat, I don't think that means by any stretch of the imagination that Big Baby would have pulled off the same thing. I wouldn't go far as to, say that like it's a foregone conclusion. That like a lot of people are saying. They make these assumptions, but I mean, we have to give the kid credit. I mean, he fought a good fight last night. He did what he had to do, and he had a good game plan, and he had the intangibles that you can't plan for. So we have to give him credit for that for sure.
Now we always talk about these big mega fight deals and how all of these different streaming is paid this and they paid this guy and they paid that guy. Okay. What happens to Anthony Joshua now? I mean, he's not the first British heavyweight that came across, over here and got his title taken away from him.
Right. I mean, he's a huge question mark now. And, for me, the fight, even before this, but to me, the fight that I want to see is Wilder and Fury in the rematch. I mean, that's the big fight, and I thought that even before last night. That would be the one that I would be very interested in seeing. And now, even more so. I mean, Joshua, he's done something that's irreparable in the sense of, now he's shown. There's two things he showed last night that one, he can't help. I mean, he got dropped and, he got hurt. So that's a sign that Wilder would certainly be able to do that as well. But the other thing that is important to me, and I always tell fighters this, and part of this is something that you have to have inside you from the beginning. And that is, when there is any indication that the fight is about to be stopped, you have to outwardly show that's the last thing you want. You have to make a scene, and I mean, I don't care if you have to beg. You have to let the referee know you don't want that fight stopped. Last night's fight was stopped way too easy with no outward emotion at all. Like when they stopped it, he made like a face. Joshua made like a face. But if that's me, if I wanted to fight, I would have lost my mind in that corner right there. I've done that. I can speak from experience. I mean, I can, and I've told you before, I remember the referee Rudy Battle. I was fighting at the Blue Horizon in Philadelphia, and I had really bad cuts from the previous fight that all opened up very early in the fight. And after one of the early rounds, Rudy Battle came over, and he, I forget his exact words, but it was like, if this gets any worse, these cuts get worse, I'm going to stop this fight. And I told him, literally, I told him I was going to kill him if he stopped the fight. And he said, hey, calm down, you know, relax. And but the fight went the distance. I went the distance. And he came over after almost like laughing. And he said, hey, man, you know, congratulations. And, you know, you got a lot of heart the whole night. But I threatened his life in the ring, and he let the fight go. You know what I mean? So that's what I felt I needed to do. Because, like, in other words, he knew beyond any shadow of a doubt I did not want to be stopped. I was going to do my best. Anthony Joshua didn't do that. You know, he didn't, you know, I don't know what the issue was, but human instinct to me, if you really want to fight, you're going to let everybody in that building know. And he did not do that. So it is what it is. He could have maybe, if he would have said in that moment, like, all right, ref, I'm good. Don't worry, ref, I'm good. They would have let, I'm sure that ref would have let that fight go. I'm positive he would have let that fight go. But Joshua didn't do that.
Yeah, he like you said, he didn't seem to have any fighting. And then by this, you know, I've never seen, you know, a champion like just be that kind of, you know, placid about, you know, well, okay, you know, we'll come back
right,
and
right.
do it another
That's what
day.
I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. That's, you know, you want to fight, man, like, let it be known. And I wouldn't have to tell anybody to do that. Like, they would do that with their own heart, you know. And he, you know, I just think he probably was overwhelmed by the whole thing. I think he underestimated him. And, you know, he just felt like, man, this guy's hitting hard. He's getting stronger. I underestimated him. And, you know, he let the ref do his job without any protest. And, you know, I'm sure as a man and as a fighter, I'm sure Anthony Joshua right now regrets that. I'm sure he regrets what he did. He allowed that to happen. And, you know, and he's got to live with that. You know, the fact that he didn't put up the fight that he should have. To let, because everybody knows, you know, just even if you're not a boxer, you know, if you got any, a little kid would know, I'm going to scream until I get what I want. You know what I mean? And he didn't say a word. And, you know, he knew what was about to happen. He knew obviously the ref was thinking about stopping the fight, and he allowed it to happen. And I hate to say it, because I really like Anthony Joshua. Seems like a very nice guy and, you know, all those things, but it is what it is. He didn't put up a fight when he had to.
Are you a little suspect of his chin now? I mean, you know, this isn't the first fight where he's been, you know, knocked down. I mean,
right.
What would you get? Do you think he stands too upright, or, you know, admires his work too much? What do you think is the problem here?
I mean, just some guys, you know, they don't have that Marvin Hagler chin, you know, a lot. The fact is, most guys don't. Like, most guys don't have that James Toney, that Marvin Hagler, you know, that rock-solid iron chin. And, you know, he just, you know, I wouldn't say he's, like, got a glass jaw, but, you know, he got caught, and I'm sure – you know, I'm sure Andy can punch. You know, these guys are heavyweights. I mean, heavyweights can punch. You know, your brain doesn't know that the other guy, you know, either, you know, is not maybe talented or whatever the case may be. Like, that's your brain is getting hit by a guy that weighs 230 plus, 240 plus. You know, it's not supposed to be getting hit by somebody that size. So, you know, everybody at that weight can punch a bit. And everybody's susceptible a bit. You know, Larry Holmes went down several times in his career, you know, so I can't really, you know, Ali went down three times, you know, four, but three legitimately, you know. So, I mean, and he had, nobody ever questioned his chin. I mean, he had a great chin, and he went down from one punch from these guys when he got dropped. You know, so I don't know. I'm not going to say Joshua doesn't have a good chin, but I'll say, it obviously is probably not going to match up to Wilder's power. You know what I mean? So that fight is out the window. You know, the fight, you know, if he could come back and win, and maybe down the line in England, a fight with him and Fury would be huge. Not as huge as it would have been, but right now, you know, I can't see him going near Wilder. You know, I can't see his people putting him anywhere near Wilder now.
Yeah, no doubt. Devin Alexander, I know that it looked very brutal against Red Catch. Do you think Devin should hang him up? I know that's a question you really don't like to ask for a lot of, for another fighter, but he looked like he was really shot for him yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, he's been around a long time. I mean, here's the thing. I remember Devin in the Ohio State Fair back in, I think it was the late 90s. We're talking 20 years ago. He was a kid then. He fought Sean Porter in the Ohio State Fair. They weighed like 70 pounds. Over 20 years ago. I have the bout sheet. I actually still have the bout sheet. So they were 70 pounds. He's been around a long time, and it doesn't stand the reason that he's going to get better. And that's the thing. It's any of these guys at that age, I don't care what they say. They get a new trainer, a new training regimen, whatever they come up with, a nutritionist. They start eating berries and nuts. Whatever they do, you're not going to get better. You're not going to be a better fighter in your 30s that you were when you were 27 to 28. You may be more difficult style-wise. You know how to escape and you know how to do different things, but you're not going to be the man you were. So, I can't see him going to the levels that he was at before. It doesn't make sense that he would. So unless he, it all depends on his reason for staying around. If he's planning on being at that elite level, chances are that's not going to happen right now.
Scully, I know you do it, and you've been at it for quite some time. But when you see, guys like Roy Jones, Shane Mosley, and them, taking guys under their wing now, and some of these like Devin Alexander, maybe it was a little too late, but Shane has a young guy, Red Catch. What do you think about, some of these past champions now starting to train? Do they still have the edge that they had when they were a boxer? Exactly what motivates a guy like you to train other fighters?
I think a part of it is we want to stay in the game. We want to be connected. And we can't fight, and this is probably the next best thing. It's kind of like living through the guy in a way. You're able to be in that ring. You're able to be in the corner. Other than as a referee, you're the closest guy to the action other than the fighter. You're in the gym. You're able to be in the gym. So I think that's probably it for a lot of guys in different ways. It all stems from something along those lines, being connected on that level. And every fighter figures they knew some good stuff and they can transfer to the guys, now whether they can or not, that remains to be seen. Training is not for everybody. A lot of great fighters have tried to be trainers, including Sugar Ray Leonard, and it didn't work out, and you would assume that it would, like a layman might say, oh man, Sugar Ray Leonard would be the greatest trainer ever. And I remember specifically, I never forgot this, and I always keep this in my mind as a trainer myself. I remember Sugar Ray saying he tried to work with these guys, and the problem was he expected them to be able to do the things he could do, and not just physically, but mentally. And things that came easy to him were things that he was able to, to achieve in the ring, overcome. The fighters couldn't do it, and he couldn't handle it. He couldn't handle, because to him it seemed so easy, and he can't figure out why these guys can't do it. And, he forgot. I'm Sugar Ray Leonard, man. I'm one of the greatest finishers ever. I'm one of the meanest, hungriest fighters ever. I had that extra that made me a great champion. And sometimes I think, and it works in reverse. It does a little disservice to the guy because, there's very few guys at that level. And Ray kind of expected all his guys to be able to do what he did. And so some of these guys, I've never really talked to Roy before about train, who the guys he trains, whatever. But, you know, that's just something that any trainer that used to be a fighter would have to be leery of, is expecting a little too much out of guys based on what you yourself were able to do as a boxer.
All right, Scully. Well, I know you got to break it up out here, man. So, hey, good talking with you tonight, man. Brand new heavyweight champion. So, you know, as usual, just tell everybody where they can find you and any events you got going on this month.
Yes, sir. Well, I'm always at on Instagram, Iceman John Scully, and Twitter, Iceman John Scully, and Facebook, either Iceman John Scully or John the Iceman Scully. And actually, yesterday I was at Deer Lake. I was at Muhammad Ali's training camp yesterday. They had the official grand opening. They refurbished the whole gym, the whole grounds. They made it look as close to what it looked like when Ali was there as they could. And there was a nice crowd. Tim Witherspoon was there. You know, Tim is a great guy. We hung out for a while, and he you know, he was there back when Ali was there. He was there sparring and everything. And so he came back for the grand opening. Gene Kilroy was there. And, you know, a really, really great event. So anyone listening, if you're in the, you know, New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania area, it's in Deer Lake, which is about 40 minutes from Pennsylvania. The whole camp has been redone. Looks really great. And it's definitely a boxing fan's trip to make it to Deer Lake one day.
Oh, all right. Man. Well, yeah, you had wrote about that before, and glad to see that it's open now. So thanks so much, Scully, and we look forward to talking to you next week, man.
All right. I'll see you next week. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Oh, Jeff.
Hello? Okay, seems like we're back on the air now.
Let's see if we can possibly get to chat and see what's going on. All right.
Let's see. There now.
Hello, Tim. Can you hear me now?
I think I'm going to have to get the chat to call in.
Hello, champ. Can you hear me?
All right. We're not quite sure what's going on here today. Seems to be one of those days where Blog Talk Radio just absolutely doesn't want to cooperate. But I'm going to try it again. Maybe it's the officials out there. You can call me. Let's see. Okay. Well, anyway, we're going to try to keep on going here talking. Right now, I'm not exactly sure what's going on here. But we'll make the best that we can of it with the bad situation. So, anyway, one of them movies. Let's see. Okay. Let's try that. Okay, I'm not sure what's going on here today. We have a lot of trouble getting in touch with Blog Talk Radio here today. I'm not sure what's going on. But anyway, we're trying to see how things are progressing. I'm going to put Lane and Lindsay can. Maybe we can just come in. Modern technology. All right, I think you see the professors in here.
Yes,
hello, professor, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, JK. What's going on?
Oh, man, having a little trouble getting in touch with Lane tonight, man, but just got finished talking to Scully for a minute. What does he think about the big shot heard around the world?
Oh, man. I got so many emotions. I'm happy, I'm sad, you know, I'm happy. You know, that we have the first Mexican heavyweight, you know, last night made history. But I'm sad because what could possibly have been a big mega fight not saying it can't still be a big fight, but just two undefeated heavyweight champions facing each other to become undisputed. Like, you just can't do better than that, you know, as far as putting a cherry on top. Like, you can't ask for nothing better than that. So, you know, hey, it's what it is. It's boxing. It happens.
I was talking to Stella, and we all, you know, kind of talked about, you know, like, how this guy should not be underestimated, but how he really didn't look like a champion yet. So, but everybody said he had fast hands. So, one of the things that I kind of noticed, man, is it didn't seem like Joshua won the fight. I mean, you know, he went down, and, I mean, you know, he was still a champ. Hey, I want to fight, but, you know, it was, I mean, it was none of that out of Joshua.
Are we talking about the stoppage?
Yes.
Okay. Now, the stoppage. Now, when he was counting, the referee was counting, and he said 7, 8, and Joshua stood up. The protocol after they stand up is you walk to the ref. You walk to the ref, and then the ref touches your gloves and asks you, you know, are you ready to go? Are you, you know, ready to continue to fight? That's the normal protocol. But Joshua turned around and walked away to the point the ref was like, hey,
right,
get over here. Where you going? Like,
right, right.
He's telling them, turn around. So Joshua is standing there. See, people are listening because what they're doing with the mainstream media is they're playing those clips, the audio of the ref saying, hey, you want to fight? And Joshua saying, yeah. But the problem is you saying, yeah, not in your head, yeah, but you're supposed to be walking towards the ref. He was backing up, leaning on the ropes as if, like, if the ropes are not there, I'm so exhausted, I would probably fall back down. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'd be in the front row.
And once the ref waved it off, there was no dispute. It was no, like, no, I'm ready. No, you know, he was just put his head down because he knew, I don't got nothing left. I don't have anything left. And I'm not going to just go in here and take, you know, more damage and punishment that you know, could damage my career. So, I mean, I will give Joshua that. You know, he got a good head on his shoulders. You know, he seems to be very conscious of things. So I think that it was a good thing that he didn't contest it. And, like you said, you know, hey, he's going to go back to the drawing board and try to get ready for the rematch, you know.
What does this do to Joshua's reputation? I mean, he's been down in almost all of his fights. You know, when you against heavy punches, he went down against Klitschko, he went down, you know, I mean, you know, are we starting to think, you know, that maybe he fights too tall?
No, actually, he didn't fight tall enough last night. That's why he got knocked out. Because if he would have kept Ruiz at the end of his jab and doubled up on his jab, double, triple, gave through and feints, and kept Ruiz at the end and utilized that height, because you see that Ruiz gave him the respect. He was giving him respect. He wasn't just running into Joshua. How he was able to land on Joshua was he was punching with Joshua, sort of like Danny Garcia. Like, he waits for you to kind of punch, and then he catch and shoot. that's what Ruiz was doing. And that's how he was catching Joshua, baiting him in, catching and shooting. But he wouldn't have been able to catch and shoot if Joshua would have kept him at the end of his jab, fought long, and utilized and bounced on his toes. Like a sense of how he fought Joseph Parker. Like, how you fighting Joseph Parker, who's a finesse fighter? That's the type of fighter you need to go in there and go after to get him out of there. Where you in there with a guy who's an aggressive inside fighter, volume puncher, and you want to go in there and rumble with him when he have the shorter arms, so his punches are shorter. It doesn't take that long to get to you. Where you have longer arms, and if you throwing hooks, your punch is not going to get there before his. And that's what was happening in those exchanges.
To me, okay. Now, that was Joshua and Ruiz, and like you said, Chance to be, he's not the first Mexican American heavyweight champion. Now, let's kind of go on the other side here. Are you really looking forward to Luis Ortiz versus Anthony Joshua? I mean, versus Deontay Wilder again?
Do I want to see it?
Yeah.
Sure. Why not?
Well. Good reason why not. I mean, you know, now we have a change of landscape. We got Ortiz, and then we got Fury. I'm not exactly sure about when we're going to see this rematch between Joshua and Ruiz. I'm pretty sure that there's a...
Hold on. You mean Lewis on... Joshua and Ruiz?
Yeah. I'm sure there's a rematch plan.
It is. It's in the UK. It's supposed to be part in the UK. That's supposed to be part of the rematch clause, that the fight will be held in the UK.
Joshua is not the first. Go ahead.
No, I was gonna say you brought up something that just popped in my head when you were saying about the rematch, right? Now I just told you that the rematch is gonna be in the UK. Now, this is why Deontay Wilder, to the people to think that Wilder's ducking and was running from Anthony Joshua, this is why you have to check the fine print on the situation when you're talking to about a boxing deal, you know, getting a contract signed and all that. In those terms of the contract for the Deontay Wilder-Joshua fight was that if he would have signed the contract that he's going to get the same flat fee in the rematch, even if Joshua loses, who want to sign up for that? Because think about how contradicting his own statements is. What Joshua say? Yeah, come to the table and I sit on the throne and you want to be the king, I give you your biggest payday of your career. Then, if you beat me, you become the man. No. You say that, but in the contract, you're still the B-side. If you beat Joshua, Ruiz going to be the B-side going into the rematch. Isn't that something? So now you see why Fury and Dillian White and Deontay Wilder and Luis Ortiz was calling Joshua and his team out about these contracts, because what they do, they throw these figures out there and be like, oh, yeah, we we was giving them their biggest payday. Yeah, we was giving them $7 million, or we were giving them a number. But they don't tell you, yeah, with that contract, oh, yeah, we got the rematch clause. And if you win, you don't get the bigger part of the pie. We still get it. Like, who wants to sign up for that? That's so contradicting.
Well, you know, hey, that's one thing that we have seen, that, you know, the business side of boxing can be very dirty. What does this do for Joshua now? I mean, you know, like you said, you always had that big possibility of Joshua and Deontay Wilder, and not that it won't get made now, maybe quicker, but what do you think? Did Joshua and his team overplay his hand?
I mean, Wilder kept telling him, you keep stalling this, is a chance that, you know, somebody could lose. And I know Wilder felt more confident in himself in saying that, like saying basically, is a better chance Joshua gonna lose if you keep stalling this fight out. You know, this is the heavyweight division. Either man can get hit and go down. But we've seen Joshua on the canvas. We haven't seen Wilder on the canvas. We've seen Joshua on the canvas in multiple fights. We've seen him hurt in multiple fights. And since he beat Klitschko, we've seen his actual boxing inside the ring decline. What I mean, not far as him adding things to his game plan, but his performances, the look of his performances, has been on the decline.
Oh, most definitely there. And once again, you know, you have to kind of, you know, look at whether or not, you know, I don't know, maybe, you know, too much muscle, maybe, you know, I'm not exactly sure what to make of it, but like you said, it has been on the decline. And it almost seems like, okay, I mean, have we, like, just nailed the heavyweight division down to 3 or 4 guys? First it was Joshua and Deontay Wilder. You know, now you have to throw Ortiz in the mix. Now you got to throw Fury in the mix. How much did this loss actually influence the heavyweight division last night?
I mean, it really shook things up, because now we got to see if they're going to do the immediate rematch. Is Joshua going to be able to build his confidence back up and get in there and defeat this guy? Because just because he's going back across the pond and fighting him in the UK, that doesn't automatically mean he's going to win. Because Ruiz is coming to fight, and he's coming to win. He's not coming to lay down. You know, and he showed that in the first fight. So, I mean, me personally, I'm a little worried about Joshua mentally. He's great with the PR thing. Like, he knows the right things to say and all that stuff. But when it comes to his actual believing in himself, I kind of question that. Don't get me wrong. It's like, I feel like he fight more to prove a point rather than I'm going to actually put it all out on the line. I think he do it to try to, like, to back up whatever he's saying, in a sense, you know, so to be politically correct. So, I don't think he mentally, if you go and just look at his interviews, so many times in the past he talked about losing. You don't hear great people talk about losing. You know, you don't hear Kobe talk about losing. Michael Jordan, Floyd Mayweather, they never talked about, oh, yeah, so, you know, if I do lose this fight. I've never heard Floyd talk about that. Sugar Shane in his heyday. I've never heard that gentleman speak those words. And Joshua, you know, if I lose, you know, it won't be a big deal. You know, Muhammad Ali was great and he had lost, so I don't define my career on being undefeated and stuff like that. And then going into this fight, you know, saying, hey, you know, maybe the Drake curse. He was talking about the Drake curse, like, oh, yeah, I did took a picture with Drake. Oh, man, I hope I don't lose my fight coming up June 1st. Like, if you really believe in yourself, you're not sitting there worried about a curse or anything, you know, and come to find out, the last couple of days leading up to the fight, it was revealed that he hired a sports psychologist. Nothing wrong with that. There's a lot of, you know, great athletes out here that have them. But, you know, that just makes me question more his mental strength.
Yeah.
Your thoughts, JK?
Yeah, Joshua to me has been a really strange bird. I mean, he's a man that's had a lot of opportunities that he was more or less, when you look at the way that Deontay has attacked his career and the way that Anthony Joshua has effectively handled his career by a country, I think Anthony feels a little too entitled. And I think that may have been what got him in trouble yesterday, thinking that, you know, he could turn it on, turn it off, and looking at this guy and saying, you know, I don't really consider him a threat. Or, you know, I think that after the boss with Big Baby Mello, he thought this was going to be an easier fight. I don't think he's actually put in enough preparation and looked at the amount of output that Ruiz had. Because, you know, as you pointed out, you thought Ruiz too short. But he also, I mean, he did knock Ruiz down. You know, so, and I think, you know, maybe that gave him a little too much confidence, or, I think maybe he thought that, you know, after he knocked Ruiz down, Ruiz was going to stay down. Maybe he think he underestimated the, you know, the so-called Mexican heritage mystique. But Joshua really didn't look like himself to me last night.
Exactly. From the gate, he did not come out and fight the right fight. If you notice, he wasn't changing the velocity on his punches. Every punch was like he was trying to hit a home run. He wasn't setting anything up. It was like swing for the fences.
I thought he thought he was just going to have a quick night at the office with Ruiz. And I don't know. I mean, I don't want to. I mean, he was over here long enough. I can't put it on jet lag. He picked his own opponent. So, I mean, I really can't do. Other than the fact that maybe, you know, some fighters are really good until they face adversity and then they never come back. And we'll have to see what happens with Joshua. But all around, it's not that I expected him to lose, but I just didn't see that heart of a champion that like you said, he kind of walked away. When Shelly pointed out, he had to threaten the referee to finish the fight, but I mean, it just doesn't seem to be that determination and that grit for some of these fighters. I don't know, but
this is when you know it's the end, JK. When a fighter get knocked down, right, and he's trying to recover, and he's more focused on looking at his corner, it's over. He don't want to be in there. Like Mike Tyson said, he was crying in there. He was crying. if you go back and look at the end of that fight, Joshua was sitting there leaning on the ropes, looking at his corner like, you going to throw in the towel? I'm thrilled. Check those last 10 seconds. And he'll be like, wow, he's paying attention more to the corner. Yeah, those two last knockdowns, he was looking at his corner. Soon as he was lifting his head up, he was looking at his corner. Not the ref, not anybody. He was looking at the corner. I'm like, what is this guy doing?
Yeah.
This is great.
I mean, sometimes it gets, when you look at the overall time for boxing, you get so many good, so many good things, and then all of a sudden, you get something that you never really expected. I mean, last week we were talking about Tony Harrison. We're talking about some great fights. Now this week we're talking about what should be one of the best heavyweight matchups. Joshua.
You're breaking up a little bit, JK.
I said, and then we get an egg. So, I mean, it's kind of hard to tell exactly how it's playing out. What did you think about the press conference afterwards? And Joshua's demeanor at the press conference.
What, him like being nice and trying to answer people questions and stuff like that?
Yeah. Now all of a sudden we got the nice Joshua, right?
Well, but see, that's what I'm saying, like, he's a PR guy. Like, I told you, he's great in front of that camera. Like, Eddie Hearn and them coached that boy up great. He know what to say, how to say it. Like, I don't know, man. It's like he tried to impress everybody. Like, oh, we need you to be gritty. Then he's, yo, I'm the landlord. I come to collect the rent and da-da-da. Then, he turns around and, hey, I'm Mr. Nice Guy. You know what I'm saying? It's like, dog, Wilder is a killer, and he lets you know I'm vicious. I'm a killer. I'm a human, but my job, I'm a destroyer, and that's what I do. I'm in that business. Joshua is like, hey, I'm Mr. Nice Guy. Somebody says something to get under his skin, or somebody be like, hey, you're not tough enough. Then he wants to, I'll come to break your jaw, and I come to collect the rent, and all this nonsense. Like, man, you, that's not you, man.
Yeah.
let's talk about the Mr. Red Cat and Governor Alexander. I was actually kind of skeptical when I saw Roy Jones. And that's because, as now, a lot of times you can't, just because you're a homeowner, you can't necessarily change the other guy's practice, you can't change his chin. I didn't really like his game plan. I appreciate that Dan Oldham said he went in from the beginning looking for a knockout, knowing that, you know, as Scully was saying, Devin Alexander and Sean Porter fought back at the Ohio State Fair at 70 pounds. So Devin's been around for quite some time. Do you think, and I know, we don't necessarily, call for somebody stepping out or whatever because it's their career, but when you look at the way Devin lost last night, do you think that, perhaps the Roosters at least think about stepping out of the ring?
Oh, well, you're going to have to fill me in because I didn't get to see it. I only saw the Joshua fight and bits and pieces of the Katie Taylor fight because I'm traveling. Like right now, I'm on the highway coming from Boston going to New York.
Oh, okay. Devin
Hold up, Devin Alexander got stopped.
Oh yeah, yeah. He got stopped. He got stopped in the sixth round by Red Cat. Red Cat knocked him down. He knocked him down three times. The first one, he faced landing basically, and he actually ended up calling. Yeah, Red Cat was really good. Devin, once he got caught, he had Oleg. He couldn't move on. He got the best stop. I'm surprised you didn't see that.
But that lets you know how devastating that knockout was for Joshua. Like, that broke the internet. After that happened, nobody cared about anything else.
No. They lasted just about the same amount. One lasted 7 rounds, one lasted 6 rounds. If you get a chance, you can go back and look at some of the headlights, some of the highlights. Roy Jones wasn't the answer, but this young kid, Red Catch, I think he really kind of told me about it when we first told about it. He looked like a real kid.
Wow, yeah, I gotta check that fight out.
Katie Taylor, you had a chance to watch last night. Didn't get a chance to get my list in today. We'll probably get her in next week. What were your thoughts?
Oh, on the robbery?
There you go.
They Loma Chico her. You know what I'm saying? That's what they did. They gave her all this hype, and she hasn't really, fought great competition. I mean, I understand you got to beat what's in front of you, but at the same time, you got to look at the opposition. See, you know what? She's going to mess around and be the female Chocolatito in a minute. So I hope they be a little more careful on her matchmaking going forward, on working on her progression and scale back all the hype.
So, what did you think about the theme? The theme's game plan going into the fight? I'm assuming, not assuming, but when you look at the highlights and everything, you don't really see it, but being that kind of precise and tricky that it was built up to be. As you said, once Joshua got knocked down, it all kind of went out the window. But do you think when you look at Katie Taylor and you look at some of the other female boxers that we now have currently on the set, and not necessarily talking about Clarissa Shields, but some of the other young ladies that we have in the what do you think is possibly the future of Katie Taylor, especially if they
I think going forward, she can still be a very good fighter. It just all depends on how carefully she's match made, you know, and how her progression is when they put her in there with those different type of styles.
Did you think that I think that was her American debut, right?
Who?
Katie Taylor.
Nah, Katie didn't fought in the U.S. She just fought on the card about a couple months back.
I don't know why I thought this was her debut, because I think I'm talking about somebody else. As we go over the brought on a lot of guests, what do you see as kind of, a progression and, a level of competition? Who do you see, or who would you like to see or see?
Sure, I ain't got to look at the rankings. I'm not real crispy with the talent in her weight class, because that's another thing. It isn't a lot of elite top fighters in her division, you know. So in order for her to be great or show that she's great, either she's going to have to, be undisputed and title defenses in her weight class and break records, or move up to challenge herself against somebody in a weight class higher. I ain't saying multiple divisions, but maybe one weight class above.
Okay, we got some great fights coming up.
What fight coming up?
Manny and Keith. What are your thoughts on that particular matchup at this particular time?
I think Keith. I think Keith is doing a good job of trying to sell the fight. Me personally, I think he caught so much backlash over the last year or so that now he's like trying to like silence the critics or trying to convince people like, no, I'm back. The real me is back. And himself, after coming off that, you know, not so good looking victory against Ocesio Lopez. So, you know, he's doing everything he can to try to sell this fight.
Do you think, I mean, is this a win-win for Keith or is this a win-win for Manny?
I mean, hey, I guess it's a win-win for both because when you think about it, if, okay, we'll check both scenarios. If Keith Thurman beats Pacquiao, all right, his stock goes up. He has a Hall of Famer on his resume. You know, it's like the passing of the torch. Whereas now if Pacquiao wins, it just another notch on his belt on his Hall of Fame career. And Keith, you just got beat by a Hall of Famer. You know, you got your first and only loss to a Hall of Famer. That's nothing to hang your head on. And you can be like Canelo, whereas he got his first loss to a Hall of Famer and look where his career at today. You know, that was his turning point.
It's kind of interesting to take. I'm not sure what would happen to Keith's career if he lost to Manny Pacquiao, even if he is a Hall of Famer. But you know, at that age, you would expect Keith to somewhat dominate. How much confidence do you have in Keith Cobra after that last performance?
No, it wasn't that last performance. I've questioned Keith ever since the Luis Collazo fight. The Luis Collazo fight showed me something about Thurman. And after that, I've noticed that he stepped up his level of competition. He ain't knocked nobody out. How you call yourself one time, it only takes one gun, you know, and knock you out. And since you stepped up your level of competition, you can't knock nobody out.
No, he went from one time to many times. So, yeah, that's like you said, you just step up to the competition. I don't know if I saw this one coming, at least this June. Your thoughts, and you see a way for the reporter to actually win this fight?
That's a 50-50 fight for me because you have to, it depends on which fighter shows up, which Sean Porter shows up, and which Errol Spence shows up. You know, if Sean come in there on his bully tactic, it might can frustrate Errol and get Errol off his game and make it a ugly drug out fight. You know, maybe Errol sustain a cut or something, bloody nose, having a tough time breathing, and it could affect his boxing. So I mean, we really haven't seen Errol face any major adversity. So I think Sean Porter's style could give him some problems. But at the same time, Earl have showed us in the Mikey Garcia fight that, you know, he can also box. So if Sean come in there on that bully tactic and Earl decide to box him, that can be a very interesting fight too.
I don't know if John knows any other way. Which might seem to be a little detrimental. Like you said, if Earl can keep the boxing match and not get drawn into a fight, I think that could be a very good 12-round matchup.
But JK,
did you?
And something, before we get out of here, we have to touch on this because I like the guy as a person a lot, but it's not looking good for your man, Abel Sanchez. And when I say that, I watch an open media workout of Triple G, and this guy is moving his head, bobbing and weaving, looking like he been at the Mayweather gym now that he's with Mr. Banks. Your thoughts,
well,
JK?
Well, you knew that Jonathan was going to bring, you know, a different aspect. I mean, Jonathan is one that has always relied on his boxing ability, like you said, head movement, good footwork, things that he learned under Emmanuel Stewart. And I was actually thinking, you know, that this could be a very good turning point for Triple G, just because it doesn't make him so predictable. He knows that he can now attack on different levels. And I think if you look at Triple G, he looks like he's starting to enjoy himself again. It's not that kind of half frown that he was starting to get in his later years with Abel. I actually think that Jonathan is going to bring some new levels, and also, you know, like you said, he's going to bring the speed, he's going to bring the stamina, and I think we're going to see not a total remake of Triple G, but I do think that Jonathan is going to be able to take advantages of some of the attributes that Abel might not necessarily been able to cultivate. And I think that one of those things, and I mean, I love Abel too, but Abel's been on the show many, many times. But I think it also has a lot to do with the disrespect that Abel seems to have for black fighters. I think that's one of the things that may have kind of turned people away from Abel. Because now, I mean, you know, this world is so international. You got guys from Nigeria, you got guys from Ghana, you got guys coming over from England. I mean, you know, and I just think that at this particular time, you know, Abel is kind of becoming kind of like Virgil. You know, your guys want to come to him for a quick fix. But, you know, I mean, you don't see a whole lot of guys that Abel has taken under his development arm, so to speak. He doesn't develop guys from scratch. He takes guys and tries to build upon either their strengths or you know, what he sees in them.
And I think that that has come to kind of bite Abel in the butt, especially these last 3 to 5 years. What did you think about Johnson and the way that he's been handling Triple G? Do you see that new bounce in Triple G's step or what?
Yeah, man, you gotta check his open workout, the footage, man. I couldn't believe it. Triple G was bouncing on his toes, fainting, bobbing and weaving, head movement. You could see him pivoting. Not just stand when he throw a combination, he ain't just standing there like a statue. He twisting and pivoting. I was like, okay, Triple G, adding some wrinkles to your game, you know, got me excited. But we won't know with this opponent because, I mean, come on. This is a walk in the park.
Well,
I've done my homework. And I will check that opponent out. But man, he gonna destroy this guy.
Well, I mean, you know, hey, first fight, first, you know, new trainer, that sort of thing. You know, it's gonna see, you know, like what happens down the line. But you know, speaking of down the line, what is this? Now that Josh was undefeated, what does this do to that big-ass contract that he signed with DAZN?
Oh, Joshua don't got no contract with DAZN.
No? He's with Eddie Hearn, right?
He's with Maxwell. He has a fight-by-fight deal. He's not contracted to DAZN, so he can go and fight on Sky Sports if he want to. He can fight on Showtime. He can do that. It's a fight by fight deal.
Oh, okay. So this really didn't hurt him that much.
It still hurt him. It still hurt him.
Well, I mean,
because
yeah.
I mean, he don't got his belts. He don't got his belts, and that's all he talked about. My belts. So
now, it's amazing. I 3 weeks ago we were talking about all the belts over across the pond. Now we have all the belts over here in the United States. How about that?
Not only United States, how about all the heavyweight belts is with PBC?
Boy, I can see Uncle Al over there in the counting house now, counting up his money.
Oh, I don't know. I've been hearing a lot about that situation. I don't know, JK, about that. Now I'm hearing some things, some rumblings going on, and PBC might be up for sale. Al Heyman in the back selling PBC.
Well, hey, you know, Al, you know, you never know what to make the Al. I mean, if Al's making money, everybody's making money. I don't know. You know. They've been trying, you know, to keep on Al for quite some time now, and nobody's actually been able to do it. We'll see. Let's see. Any news that we should hear about before we get off air?
I just wanted to go back to a little bit about the mental situation of Joshua. Why the breakdown? Look at the breaking news that happened last week. Twice. The first one was that Deontay Wilder was going to fight Luis Ortiz, right? the rematch. And guess what happened? Well, nobody talking about the Joshua fight happening on Saturday. Everybody was talking about, oh, Deontay doing the rematch. It's going to be on pay-per-view in September. You know, they was talking about that. They weren't talking about the Andy Ruiz-Joshua fight. Then what happened, what, the day before the fight, he announces another big announcement. Hey, I'm doing the fight after the Luis Ortiz. I'm doing the Tyson Fury rematch. You know, so he has the pressure of, wow, Wilder knocked Brazil out in one round, so I got to go in here and perform. Plus, he made two major announcements that really downplayed my fight.
Yeah.
So you don't think that added some more pressure to Joshua in the fight?
Well, I thought Joshua was going to be under a lot of pressure anyway after the way that the Wilder dispatched Brazil. And I thought he was going to have to do an outstanding job against Ruiz. And I'm not saying that I never thought that Ruiz was going to beat Joshua, because I didn't. But, just like most, heavyweight fans. But, I do think he got, not only did he get outside the ring, but he also, the loss, I'm not sure about Joshua's PR. Like you said, now he it doesn't seem like he's depending on his fighting abilities anymore. It's all about the belt and the money and stuff like that. Joshua is just a strange bird. I don't know whether I think there was a little too much arrogance involved. I think arrogance probably got him beat yesterday too.
Or did he run into the Hagler syndrome?
yeah. That's also possible. But
it's hard to
go
and put in your miles when you sitting there with silk sheets and people waiting at your feet.
Yeah. I guess we'll await the announcement and see how Joshua looks getting back in the ring. Now, looking at the Ruiz fight, would you recommend that Joshua take a tune-up before getting back in the Ruiz? Because he didn't look that good.
A tune-up before Andy Ruiz? No. For what? He just don't need to wait too long to get back in the ring. That was another thing. Joshua been out of the ring almost a year since his last fight. Andy Ruiz was just in the ring 2 months ago.
Yeah, yeah.
He just came out of camp. He's fresh. He was energized. He was ready to go.
And he was coming off another knockout too.
Right. So that affected too. Like, Joshua needed to shake some rust off. He ain't fought in almost a year. But you know what? That's what he get. Because those games, him and Matchroom and Eddie Hearn was playing, backfired. Remember what happened? Oh, yeah, Deontay Wilder, we have Wembley already reserved, April, come on, blah, blah, blah. talking all this junk. Next thing you know, oh, well, if not Wilder, me and Dillian White will do the rematch with Wembley. Next thing you know, that's out of the window. Next thing you know, Dillian White's supposed to have been headlining April at Wembley. And they kept beating around the bush. And Joshua said, you know what? I'm tired of chasing this guy. I ain't doing it no more. So that's when he hit you with the Tyson Fury and said, I'm going my own way. And then he followed up with Brazil, and they showing you that they have a plan. Now they're moving on to Ortiz, and then after that, it's the Tyson Fury rematch. So he's told you, I ain't playing those games no more. I chased you long enough.
Might not have to chase you. We really want to chase you right now and got the whole team match up. But hey, especially as always, man, it was glad to get you in, especially during these upsets. If you get a chance, go back and watch that Devin Alexander fight. I'm sure you'll be really surprised about that. And why don't you tell everybody where they can find you on social media? And any final thoughts you got for us tonight?
Yeah, keep supporting boxing. We had a great weekend of boxing. We had some PBC action there. We had some DAZN action going on. As of now, the torch has been passed just a little in the heavyweight division. And congratulations to our Mexican first-time heavyweight champ, Andy Ruiz, and to his family. And as always, keep supporting boxing. I'm Jabran Clemens. You can find me on Facebook. That's J-A-B-R-A-N, Clemens, C-L-E-M-O-N. And J.K., let them know where they can find you at.
You can find me on Facebook on the Pugilist Corner and the Weekend Wrap. We always get our podcast up right after the show. So we're looking forward to talking to you on Tuesday on Dog Time with K-9. And, as Jabron said, just keep supporting boxing, and we look forward to talking to you again next week. Have a great night. See you next week.